Good morning. Thank you, Marilyn and Leanne and the worship team. I really enjoyed the music this morning, and some things we don't sing maybe all that often, but really good reminder of what is the story we tell? What is this purpose that we gather together? So yesterday, we held the monthly Lego Club at the Grove. How many of you were with us? Yeah, there were few, and it was a good time. I always enjoy getting to participate in that. For those of you who don't know or haven't been there, it's a 1 hour a month that we meet at the Grove. Kids ranging from 4 to 12 get the chance to dig through piles of Lego bricks to find that one perfect piece to make whatever their masterpiece creation is. Sam Park has graciously led us on this every month. And it's fun to see the kids get to be creative, to see the kids play, to see the kids share, sometimes have to break up arguments, but just see what they do together. And what's been interesting, something I've noticed that's happened, every month, pretty much without fail, a majority of the kids at some point in time ending up building the same thing. 1 month it might be a car, the next month a boat, a spaceship. Yesterday, what'd you guys build? You don't want to say it out loud. They built hideouts. I went around the circle. I was like, what are you guys building? We're building a hideout. And what's interesting is it's not that Sam or any adult is saying everybody should build a hideout this month. It's that one kid starts building a hideout, then the next is like, what are you building? I'm a hideout. Oh, I'm going to build a hideout. And pretty soon, it seems like almost everybody's doing it. We even had an adult building one yesterday. And as I was thinking about why this happens, I began to think, there's something inside of us that makes us want to follow. At some point in our lives, we want to follow after somebody else and do what they do. This could be because we admire the person. When I was in high school, I really wanted to be like Jimi Hendrix on guitar. I was playing guitar, and he was in my mind, the best guitarist who ever lived. Now I just want to be like Reed Jones, of course. Sometimes we follow people because we're not really sure of what we're doing. Last summer when we were in Detroit at MDS, I got assigned to do drywall in a basement, and I'd done it, it had been several years, so I really appreciated having Arliss and Earl down there to kind of watch and see what they were doing and to try to maybe emulate that a little bit. Sometimes we follow somebody just because it seems like the right thing to do. Yesterday when I was coming home from Lego Club, I rounded the corner to our street, and if you've ever walked past our house when the dogs are outside, you know they're outside, because they will spot you, and then they will bark furiously, which I heard, and I walked inside, and apparently, this is what Aaron and Rachel tell me, when they started barking, one of our cats, who thinks she's a dog, decided she should also start growling. So sometimes we follow just because it seems like the right thing to be doing. Following is something that is in our nature. Over the last couple of months, we have been discovering as a church what it means to be healthy by being well-balanced. And we talked about worship and we talked about mission. We are now moving into our third topic or pillar, and that is discipleship, which is really just kind of a big fancy word for meaning to follow after another person. This could be something like a student to a teacher, or an athlete to a coach, or one kid's Lego project to another, or even a cat to a dog. In Christianity, when a person follows after Jesus, we call them a disciple. Jesus gives us this simple call to discipleship in Matthew 4:19 when he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Essentially, what Jesus is saying is, if you want to be my disciples, then just follow after me and do what I do. Now, this is a very basic understanding of discipleship or of following. And we know, or we will realize the farther you get into it, that it gets a whole lot more complex. In the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective, one of the articles is on discipleship, and it fleshes it out like this. We believe that Jesus Christ calls us to take up our cross and follow him. Through the gift of God's saving grace, we are empowered to be disciples of Jesus, filled with His Spirit, following His teachings and His path through suffering to new life. As by faith we walk in Christ's way, we are being transformed into His image. We become conformed to Christ, faithful to the will of God, and separated from the evil in the world. So there's a lot going on in that description, but a couple words and phrases that stood out to me. Take up your cross, filled with the Spirit, following, suffering, new life, transformed, conformed, separated. Altogether, those are some pretty strong and challenging things. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus is calling us to when He says, "Come, follow me." With all of this in mind, then, where do we start the journey of discipleship? Well, discipleship begins simply when we decide to follow after Jesus. So this morning, we're going to consider what it means to follow after Jesus in discipleship by exploring a three-step process of following. Following starts first with confidence, that is, belief in Jesus, and then confession, that is, to declare that Jesus is Lord, and then commitment, that is, baptism. So let's first talk about confidence. Confidence means to actively believe something is true or reliable. Discipleship in Jesus begins simply with the confidence that Jesus is who He said He is, and that He will do what He said He will do. This means that we believe that He lived, that He died, and that He rose again in order to save us from the consequences of our sin, which is death, so that we might someday join Him and God together in heaven. Jesus tells us in one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture that if we believe in Him, if we have confidence in Him, we will be saved. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. As we see in this passage, discipleship begins simply with belief in Jesus. Believe in Him, and you will be saved. As we discover later in the book of John, though, it's not all about belief, or belief is not the final step. In John chapter 12, we see Jesus entering Jerusalem for the final time of His ministry, and He's in the synagogue, and He's talking with the leaders in the synagogue, and He reveals to them His identity as the Son of God, and that His mission was to die on their behalf. Because of this, then, certain leaders believed the words that Jesus said to be true. But because of the fear that they had of the Pharisees, they weren't willing to confess, to say that they believed this thing. John 12:42-43 says, "Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God." They believed, but they weren't willing yet to follow Jesus. It wasn't their belief that revealed the true nature of their heart. It was their unwillingness to declare their beliefs that led Jesus to say they were more interested in man's praise than of God's praise. We are told in James 2:19 that belief in and of itself is not the primary virtue of discipleship, because anyone can believe. James says, "You believe that there is one God." Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Discipleship might begin with confidence or belief, but that belief has to be taken one step further. It needs to be confessed. Confession, that is, declaring that Jesus is Lord. To confess is to make a declarative statement that you own something, some action, some belief, some word, some deed. In courts, when you confess to a crime, you're saying, "I did indeed do this thing, and I own the consequences of whatever it is." Parents, you know it's really important to get your kids to confess if they've done something wrong. Not because you want to shame them or embarrass them, but because it's important that they own up to whatever it is that they ended up doing. In a religious sense, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary Online defines confess as to declare faith in or adherence to. So, similarly to a court confession, when we confess Jesus as Lord, we are letting the rest of the world know that we take ownership of this belief. Paul tells us in Romans that confession is an essential part of our faith, of our discipleship, and even of our salvation. Romans 10:9-13, which is on your sheet, says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You can't have confidence or belief and salvation without the public act of confession, because it is in this act of confession we confirm before God and man what we know to be true in our hearts. Lee Camp, who is an author, and I really enjoy this book called Mere Discipleship, he puts it like this: Jesus of Nazareth always comes asking his disciples to follow him, not merely to accept him, not merely to believe in him, not merely to worship him, but to follow him. One either follows Christ or one does not. There is no compartmentalization of the faith, no realm, no sphere, no business, no politic in which the lordship of Christ will be excluded. We either make him Lord of all lords or we deny him as Lord of any. It's not just about belief, though belief is important. We also must confess. In confessing Jesus, we not only say that we believe that what he says and who he is true, but we also are saying that we want him to be Lord, or to rule over, or to direct, or to guide our lives. Belief then shifts us from mere mental agreement to life transformation. After belief and then confession, we have one final step to the beginning of following Jesus, and that is commitment that comes through baptism. Baptism is incredibly important to the Anabaptist movement, which is what we are part of. It is the public act of commitment to Jesus Christ that disciples do either through immersion in water or sprinkling with water or pouring with water. It is the religious equivalency of a college basketball player signing up to be on an NBA team and saying they will play for that team and represent their values, without, of course, contract negotiation, trade agreement, and hopefully no illegal activities. According to Jesus, baptism is inextricably linked with discipleship. We cannot separate discipleship from the act of baptism. Again, what Aaron read for us not too long ago in Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Disciples, baptism. You can't separate it out. But what exactly is baptism, and why does this commitment matter in following Jesus? Article 11, again from the Confession of Faith, says this: "We believe that baptism of believers with water is a sign of their cleansing from sin. Baptism is also a pledge before the church of their covenant with God to walk by the way of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Believers are baptized into Christ and his body by the Spirit, water, and blood." Okay, again, a lot packed in there, so let's unpack this real quick. First, baptism is an outward sign of Jesus' cleansing of our sins. It's really this awesome physical illustration. In the same way that water has the power to wash dirt off of us, the water of baptism symbolizes Jesus washing the sins away from us. And if we take a little bit of a deeper look at what's going on here, if you do baptism by immersion, when you put someone underwater in that way, you are reenacting the salvation story. When you go underwater, you are experiencing Jesus' death and burial. And when you're raised out of the water, you're experiencing his resurrection and new life. Paul writes about this in Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Secondly, then, when we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, that mysterious third person of God who is there to be present with us, to help guide us, in order that we might have God with us as we pursue discipleship of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Finally, when we are baptized, we commit ourselves to a new identity in Jesus. And in that new identity, we join with the whole body of believers in this community that has committed itself to Jesus Christ, and we call ourselves the church. Paul writes in Galatians 3:27, "For all who are baptized in Christ have been clothed, have clothed yourselves with Christ." Baptism is our public commitment to Christ. It's a symbol of our forgiven sins, an invitation for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, and an entrance into a church community of disciples. So how do we follow Jesus? Well, first, we have confidence in who he is and what he says and what he did. And then secondly, we confess this confidence that Jesus is Lord. And thirdly and finally, we commit to this confidence and confession through the act of baptism. So maybe you're hearing some of these things for the very first time and thinking, I would like to start following Jesus. And the reality is there is no better time than the present. Even if some of this doesn't make sense yet, even if it's not fully understandable, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you believe that he died and rose again to save you from sins, then you can confess that you believe these things to be true and take on Jesus as your guide in that new life. And if you've believed and confessed and are ready then to commit to being a disciple of Christ, you could be baptized. In fact, as we approach the Easter season, we're offering an opportunity, as we do every year, for baptism on Easter Sunday, which is April 16th. And if you're interested in taking any of these steps, please talk to Dick or I. Now, for those of you who have confessed, who have confidence, who have committed, you might be wondering, why does this sermon apply to me? What does it matter? Discipleship requires a daily commitment to Jesus Christ. It requires a daily commitment to believing that Jesus is who he says he is, that he does and did what he said he does and did, and that he will do what he said he will do. It also requires confession. Confession that Jesus is Lord of our life, which can sometimes be hard to do because there are an awful lot of things that are trying to become lords of our lives. We confess and claim Jesus as Lord outside of our lives. And we do this outside of just even within our heart, because if we don't, then we're really no different than those Jewish leaders before Jesus in the synagogue who said, "Yeah, I believe, but I'm not really willing to talk about it or to claim it for myself." And then the other question I would have is, are we in the habit of daily committing ourselves to discipleship? Daily committing ourselves to following after Jesus and to remember and to renew our baptismal vows, to declare that we have died to that old self and that we really have been risen into a new life with Christ. While we still live in this world that is ruled by sin, and we know it is, we look around us and see so many bad things going on, we are always going to have to wrestle with that temptation to be and live into that old self, that old man. And so in the path of discipleship and following, we need to constantly be working at committing ourselves to the new person raised in Jesus Christ. We need to be working together as a church to remain confident, to continue to confess, and to live into those commitments. Today, like every other day, we have the opportunity to follow after Jesus, either by confessing and committing for the very first time, or by recommitting ourselves and intentionally following after Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. So who do you want to follow today? And what kind of disciple do you want to be? Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live as a guide and example for us. When there are so many things out there trying to lead us in various ways, God, we pray that we might follow after Jesus. And wherever we are at in our discipleship journeys, whether it's just beginning or whether it's many, many decades in, God, we pray you give us the courage and strength to confess, to have confidence, and to commit to who you are. God, I ask that Jesus, your Son, enter into all of us this morning through the Holy Spirit, that we might receive you and we might live fully into being disciples. God, teach us to follow. It's in Jesus' name we lift all these things up. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a song of response.